Blog Talk Radio.
The Smith Way Production Company present to some, introduce to others, our international radio personality, Dr. Lorenza D. Smith. Dr. Smith, make it do what it do.
Colleges and universities, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So we're excited. Even though we're in a time where COVID-19 is here, it looked like it's here for a minute or two, we're trying to get ourselves focused. And we're going to continue to use this vessel to bring the word to you. And we appreciate you joining us. And we want you to, if you're on Facebook and you're watching us and you're about to get on Blog Talk Radio, the call-in number for Blog Talk Radio is 347-857-4192. And if you want to check us out by internet, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. We have an awesome show planned for tonight. Our show title tonight is Sports in America on the Comeback, Part 2. A lot of things have been happening lately with sports, and we want to make sure we share as much as we can in regards to not only historical black college, your high school, your middle school. We're going to talk a little professional football as well. We're going to take an opportunity to talk about professional basketball. There are several other things going on, and we're just going to share as much as we can in regards to that. Just like the song, we don't own the rights here. We are ready. We're ready. Are you ready? You ready for an awesome time? We're going to have one now. I see people join us on Facebook. Thank you so much for taking an opportunity to join us. Again, Sports in America is on the comeback, part two. Now, if you want to email the show, you can email it at talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. And if you're interested in tweeting, using Twitter and tweet the show, you can go to @talkingsportsplus with the number one, @LorenzaDSmith. @ElliotDarrell, the number one, @TremaineEdward, with number seven, and @Coach_L_Smith. You can tweet us and share your thoughts as well. Now, let me let you know how we're being broadcast tonight. We're on Blog Talk Radio. I just gave you the information how you can connect on Blog Talk Radio, but we're on Facebook. So glad to have an opportunity. I see some people joining us now on Facebook, and I appreciate you so much. We're slowly taking an opportunity to join us as we continue moving with the show. On Facebook, it's facebook.com, DR, which is Dr. L. D'Alberto Smith. That's the Facebook handle. Now, we also operate on Instagram, and that's Coach Dr. Loretta D. Smith5. We're trying something new. God has blessed us with this opportunity to have this vessel move to another level. At this point, I'm on Facebook on two devices, and one of them operated on a 32-inch television, and I have the opportunity to create a room. We normally would do it, but I won't do it tonight because we continue to work and test what God has given us. You know, we give him all the praise, and we want you to do the same thing. One of the most important things to do is when you get ready to hit the floor in the morning time, you're giving praise. When you lay down, you're giving praise because he's almighty. And that's what we have to do and consider this plague that we're dealing with called COVID-19. Now, what we want to do, we still want to recognize those individuals that are doing some things that's on the front line. And it's that all our healthcare workers who's on the front line and dealing with situations from day to day. Numbers are rising. Just recently, we're giving some numbers for the state of Alabama. Increased almost 600 cases within 24 hours after the Memorial Day weekend. And they're going to increase even more. And that's not something I'm speaking. That's expected due to the behavior of some people during the holiday. Yes, it was holiday time. Yes, we was on the beach. But we was not following what they required to do, which is social distancing. We was not doing that. Then interviewed some of the individuals down in Gulf Shores, Alabama, out on the beach talking about it. You know, y'all have to leave by something. We don't know. We don't have to die by something. This kind of mentality is those individuals refusing to follow what is required through the health measures will act. Now they come back and they're going to spread it among other people. It's a good chance with the way in certain places. I know we have been cooped up for three months or so, but you got to realize this is not over with. It's far from being over with. So you have to take that thought and believe. As I mentioned, the healthcare workers, we don't want to overwhelm them because when you start getting 600 and 700 cases a day, that means those individuals eventually may move to the hospital or somewhere they're being told they had it, so you got the testing going on. So we can overwhelm them. Let's not overwhelm those people who've been fighting hard to keep a lot of us alive. Let's try to do that. And that's my word. My hashtag is stay home and stay alive. That's what they said. All boils down to stay at home. You don't have to be out unless you're out to get something essential. We have to take it. Don't believe it's not real. Don't believe because you see a certain person not wearing a mask, you don't have to wear a mask. Yeah, it can't keep you from getting COVID. You can't spread it. And if you contracted, you won't spread it with your family if you use the mask and your gloves as some measure. Just take that measure. It's never give you confidence. It gives me confidence when I'm out and I have my mask and my gloves on, and and I look at people and say, you know, phase them. Okay, you have your thoughts about it, but we cannot defeat this plague taking it for granted. And that's what we are. We open up things, slowly open up things. So now we think we should just take for granted that it's not going to happen to us, but it can happen. It can happen quick and fast. And I can tell you now. Now, we also want to give a shout out to our mental health counselors and mental health essential workers. We have to make sure we give them a shout out as well, because it is a challenge. And we had a show on Monday night talking about mental health and wellness in the country, in our country, during COVID-19. And that's what we have to consider. It's far from being over. So those mental health essential workers are working hard. They are challenged as well, and we have to understand this is not just on you and saying it's just happening to you. Those individuals as professionals have to work with you to make sure you are doing what you're supposed to do and treat you in the manner you need to be treated. All right, we want to also give a shout-out for individuals that we're going to say social workers, our licensed clinical social workers. We have our guest expert and also our co-host on our Monday night show that's joined us recently, Lisa Levine out of Boca Raton, Florida. She's on the show, and she talks about what we're dealing with as a as a social worker and all the things that's going on. And it's important that we recognize. We got to recognize those individuals, that law enforcement. We got to do this because they're working hard, grind. Don't be upset because it is a curfew and you can't be out 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. The less people out on the floor, the less out on the street, and late at night, the less opportunity we have for things to happen and things to be spread easily during that process, because we let our guards down, because we're free to do some things. Also, we're going to give a shout out to our truck drivers who's transporting food and groceries back and forth to stores to make sure the racks are best, you know, filled and stocked high as it can be, so we can have the things we need to have so we can survive. We're going to give a shout out to our grocers, you know, those individuals that are stocking. They're working hard, you know. They're trying to make sure we have everything out there so you can purchase. But consider your other individuals. Consider your cohorts. Consider those individuals who, if you go buy it all thinking you have it all, which you know you can't eat it all, that you won't leave anything else for anybody else. We're going to give a shout out to our teachers, our educators. You know, what, 2 weeks ago, it was National Teacher Appreciation Week. We're going to say all year, because when COVID-19 was in a lockdown in this country, those teachers had to be revolutionized. They had to do something different. I spent 30-some years as an educator at all levels, so I know the challenge it is. And now we're trying to set up what we're going to do to reopen this situation. We have a lot going on. We got to be ready. It's just not going to happen. And the challenge is because you can't get anything direct, only what we call recommendations. You can't get anything that we need to do or required to do, because our educators, we don't quite understand how we're going to deal with the situation. I understand that. I know if you got a school of 800, 900, you got a challenge going on. You talk wearing masks, you know, making sure you wave them through the lunchtime. You know, it's going to be a challenge, and we have to keep that in mind. So let's not go with the thinking that everything is going, it's just going to work, it work out, but we're going to have some challenge. At the rate we went over the Memorial Day weekend, we will most likely have another wave of COVID-19, and it may shut everything down, even though some people that's at the high level said we're not going to shut it down. You may not have a choice. And what we need to do, practice safety measures. And I keep talking about it. But let me introduce those individuals. I was hoping that my team, the rest of them, would join me, and they will. When they get an opportunity, they may come in one by one, and we appreciate them doing it. It is volunteer for them. And we appreciate them giving up their time to be a part of this on each one of the shows that I host, as well as act as producer on one or two shows as well. First of all, I want to give a shout-out to this individual who's working right now up in the Huntsville public school system, and that's Coach Tremaine King Edwards. He's at Chapman Middle School, and he usually joins us, and we look with, hopefully he will give us a call and give us a shout. That's Coach Tremaine King Edwards. The question why we call him King, because He comes to our show. When he's on the show, his predictions are on task. He's bringing some strong knowledge to us. So we give him a shout out, and we make sure we identify him. And that was given to one of the other co-hosts, gave it to him as the King on this show. And we're so proud to have him join us as well. And we have the Lady of the Hour. When she joins us, and we appreciate the time, that's, she's a millennial, and that's Coach Lauren Queen Smith. And she's the queen because she come at your heart. She talk sports like it needs to be talked. And it's from her point of view, and we appreciate it. And that's Coach Lauren Queen Smith. She received that. So we got a king and a queen. Also we have is a retiree. He's with the Alabama, was with the Alabama High School Athletic Association. He was the associate executive director, retired in 2018. And he's our high school expert, none other than Coach Tony Touchdown Stallworth. And we have another millennial that joins us as well. Young man, he's right here in central Alabama. He's a coach over at one of the private schools, but we do appreciate him being his, and that's Coach Cameron Gilbert. last but not least, come on now, we're going to make sure we introduce this young man. He joins us from time to time, and he has other things he's doing. He's working his show at the same time. He's our radio personality. He travels and takes that E-train from the coast of Florida all the way up to Montgomery, from Montgomery to Troy, from Troy down to Dothan. He makes a stopping off. We have our own radio personality. He's the Don King of all things. He's the conductor of the E-train, none other than Daryl E-Train Elliott. So those are the individuals that join us, and they will call in, and we'll make sure we get them online and share their thoughts about the topic that we have and the title of the show. Sports in America is on the comeback, part two. So that means we had part one last time. We're going to talk about several things at Coach's Corner, and I'm going to start off sharing some things with you, and you have the same opportunity to be a part of it. We want to chat with you. The call-in number, again, is 347-857-4192. Press 1. I will identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or your telephone number and ask you to give us your name and location if you're comfortable with that, and then offer your expertise, your comments, as well as any questions you have. So give us a holler, give us a shout. Let's make it do what it do. All right, the first thing we want to discuss tonight is how COVID-19 is affecting the world of sports. We know when March of 13 hit here, when that was the first case in regards to relating to a team, Rudy Gobert. And there was a situation where he was playing around and found out he tested positive for COVID-19, and that caused a shutdown in the game that was scheduled to be played. It was playing OKC that night, and they had to shut it down, and everybody was being tested. Once the word got out, the NBA canceled and postponed the season. Everybody else postponed the season. School was postponed, and so we had really no sports. We had no sports, and everybody was just kind of just watching what was going to happen. So we're moved to a point now where we begin to open the country back up. Personally, I feel like it's a little bit too fast, still too fast. But since we ain't done it and everybody's so smiling again, and they're a lot more lax now than they was before, fine. If we're going to do it that way, I just ask you, if you're checking us out, listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, and you'll get a chance on Instagram, whatever it be, wear your mask. Wear your mask. Wear your gloves. You can come tell me. They tell me it don't mean anything. Now, wear your mask, because they're not making that recommendation from the CDC and from your public health office to wear your mask. It's the reason why. Not if you don't want to protect yourself, protect your family. Protect your children. You might have some elderly people in your family. Protect them. Think about that. Just protect them. And that's what's important. Don't think so much about yourself. Think about the people you may encounter and the one that you love. And tell them you love them. And that's what it's all about. So it has affected sports and shut it down. So now we begin to see a little bit more life. Some of your high schools as well as your college, NCAA ruled on June the 1st that they can start their summer workout programs. Then fell in line with that. You know, a lot of your states relaxed their stay-at-home order. For example, I'll take Alabama. Georgia did it much earlier, and they and several other states are doing the same thing, and some are just still holding on to it. And they relaxed the stay-at-home order so you could be able to do certain things. They try to phase us in. So sports is one of the last things they phased in. I can say in the state of Alabama as well as the state of Georgia, where to the point they allowed youth sports to go get started up May the 23rd, and they can officially start games on June the 15th. So it's on the comeback. Then also a lot of your high schools and as well as your NCAA open the campus up by June the 1st. So you have that open with using safety measures there, using social distancing there. And it can happen. You have to making sure you're cleaning up. You know, if they're in the weight room, you got to clean that weight room up for another group coming in. You're going to have to limit your number because some weight rooms ain't big enough. You got to practice these good safety measures, and don't take them for granted, because if one of those young people contracted, it's going to affect your team, but also some parents are not going to be very happy because you didn't do what you're supposed to do as a coach. Make sure. So it's on the comeback. So they can say they can come back and start on June the 1st. I was listening to the High School Association today earlier, and it was talking about how some of the things, the Alabama High School Athletic Association was talking about some of the things that was required. Georgia was doing the same thing. Florida doing some of the same. Georgia's date is June the 8th to come back. They're going to come back with their summer workout program as well. So it's being changed, but it's on the comeback. But if we're not cautious about bringing it back, we're going to have some problems. You know, I noticed something too as well when it said May the 23rd here in Alabama was able to get youth together and start some youth sports. Now, you got to remember, a lot of the softball and baseball starts at a point around about March or April, and at this point, they'll be getting to all-star. So now they're talking about starting. I don't know if they're starting to get the all-star in, because I don't think it'll extend beyond. If you're dealing with high school, for example, excuse me, basketball, they have June is the month that they can play date. So that's going to allow them to get ready to play. So you can't be playing AAU and play high school basketball. Those two things that go. So some of these things are going to work out where you're going to put your young people, your children, in a situation they got to go out and play and try to play and traveling on travel ball all over the country. Now, anything after that in July, if you think is important, but you got to realize they're playing football, they got to get ready for football. So there's so much going on here. So you got to realize they are the workout plan. Let's take it one step at a time and not be in a hurry. So it affected the world of sports, and it shut it completely down. It began to open up a little bit more. You had some race cars, races that went on the other day. You also had the UFC fighting without fans, and both of these were without fans. You had a golf match between, was it Brady, Tom Brady, and Mickelson, and then you had on the other side, you had Tiger Woods, and you had Peyton Manning, and they was doing it for charity. So they see you can get out and play golf, and you can. So you begin to get. So things are being worked out slowly, but it's going to be slowly. It's not going to be fast. Don't be rushing because we think we've been deprived. One of the biggest things they said before is that they have to get football back in because it's the money maker for all the schools. But I also think life is more important than thinking about money makers. It ain't what it's all about when we're talking about it. It's all about the money being made. Some universities operate their budget, make something like football makes for them, you know, it's a multi-million dollar, some $35, $40 million to help operate all the other programs that they have under them as well. I just think we're at a time now. It's going to be effective. We talked about how it's getting started, but there are several colleges have dropped programs. Several colleges have dropped tennis, indoor track, several things because they just don't see the financial. It is going to happen to more what they call an FCS, football championship subdivision. It's going to happen to a lot of those schools. A lot of those schools depend on those FBS schools to help them. But if we continue, we really got uncertainty now. That's one of the things that's affecting the world of sports is uncertainty. And that uncertainty, and I say, yes, we got a potential to have a football season, but we don't know if it's a continual wave of 600 per day or 700 per day. That's going to be a concern. It's a concern. It's going to go way beyond a concern. So it's going to affect sports again. So you're planning to have a season, but if we continue to ignore what's going on and follow the right procedures of safety, we may not have to have a football. Then we had to go into a contingency plan they was talking about before, pushing the season back. Yes, schools need this money. You know, now the pros, they can play without fans. They don't need to have fans, but the colleges need fans. If you're talking about setting a percentage, this is how it's going to affect in the fall. Normally, you can have at the University of Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, Tennessee, Clemson, you can have close to 100,000 people in them stadiums at times. However, with the way it's going, when we got to social distance, we got to realize you got to come up with a plan. And some of the plans is putting a percentage of them there. Maybe if you got 20,000, when you got 100,000, so people can be spread it out. This is something we're dealing with. You might not like it, but it's real. It's being recommended. It may happen, or it might be no fans. And for a FCS school, it cannot. Our historical black colleges and universities will not be able to survive. We might as well just not play football if we can't put anybody in the stand. That's my opinion. You may have yours. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure you're able to chat with me about the many topics we're talking about tonight. So just think about that. Your smaller schools, your Division II, your Division III, your NAIA, those level schools, and your FCS, which is your Division I AA, which is your historical black colleges and universities playing that level of football. If they can't put fans in the stand, if they can't put a full number of fans in the stand, they will suffer tremendously. It might be not possible if you can't put, for example, I was reading some information to you recently, the numbers that came out of attendance they did something in March about the FCS schools, which is your historical black colleges and universities, and attendance for 5 home games. And the SWAC led has been leading the FCS attendance for 42 out of 43 seasons. And Jackson State was number one this past year, 2019. They were able to put in 5 games, average 33,000 in there. Just think about that. If you can't, that's only 33,000. If you can't put a percentage or put none in there, that's a loss of revenue. And fourth on that list was Alabama State University. They had 17,000. And the stadium was a 27,000 seat stadium. So if it's possible you're not going to be able to function if you're not. Because another thing that's going to challenge the world of sports, especially football, and I'm talking a little football tonight, is that season tickets. People are not going to be willing to spend their money on season tickets if they don't know what's going on, all the uncertainty. That's what it is. So that's affecting for the world of sports right now. It's affecting football. I know they said we got a couple months to go on. 90-some days, but decisions have to be, to a sense, talked about and potentially made right now. And we see how it's going to affect, especially your FCS. It will shut some programs down. It'll shut all the programs down because you won't be able to function. And it's going to, only 41 out of all the FBS schools, which is your power conference, your Georgias and your Floridas and your Tennessees and Georgia Tech and the Alabamas are all over and the Clemson and Ohio State, only 41 can take the budget they have now and function next year if there's a limit in the season. So we had a challenge. That's how sports are going to affect. Now you take the NBA, they're still plotting about how they're going to do it, but you have to listen to it. COVID-19 has affected even players. You got some players saying, okay, if we don't have a full season left and if we have no way to make the playoffs, I'm done. I'm not going to get out there and chance myself because there's no way to get out there and waste my time, and I got a family to go home to. So you have to look at things like, I know they're coming with some potentially great ideals, but it's going to be, it's been affected in that way. So you have to keep that in mind. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll put you all so you can chat with me. Tell me what you think. What's your experience? What's your thoughts? What's your comments? You know, you can get your name and location if you choose to, but I'm going to make sure I call out them last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, and I'll say, come talk with me. Let me know how you feel in regards to what's going on with COVID-19 and how it affects the world of sports. We hear in how it's affected. Well, you got no fans of NASCAR. You got no fans of the UFC. You're going to have no fans in certain other sports like the NHL. And everybody says, that shouldn't be a problem. The problem ain't the players. It's the fans. fans all in there is the problem, being not distant from each other. That's what we got to keep in mind. I was talking my nephew the other day, and he was talking about, we always tailgate at one of the historical black colleges and university. We get a spot, and he come out, what are we going to do? Man, I swear, right now, I'm not doing anything. I'm not concerned about 20 right now. That money can be used some way of now. If someone people want to go out there, it's fine. But they won't have me. I'm not comfortable quite yet. If you are, fine. But I'm not. So that's how it's affecting the world of sports in regards to me. And I love sport. I coach over 30-plus years, people. Football, basketball, track, baseball. I did it all. Played the game through all levels. But I'm saying now, because my heart, I know where my heart is in regards to football, I don't think I want to chance it. This is the uncertainty. I don't want to challenge. I don't want to put myself in a situation that are going to affect my family. That's it. You make your choice how you're going to do it. Think about your family. That's how sports will come. I'm a normal season ticket holder. Buy 4 or 5 of them. Get tailgate spots in there. If I'm not, it's other people think the same way I think. And kids playing football, some parents are going to think that. And one of the things, I was listening to a news conference by the executive director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. He was aired today, or streamed like today. And one of the things they shared with individuals, coaches, don't get mad if parents decide not to let their children come to summer workout. Because we are uncertain. We just 75, 80 days. We don't know where we are. Why has it got to be so important that you got to have them there? Because you don't know the uncertainty. And the uncertainty is fear. And you don't tell me it doesn't bother you to know you're going to send your son out there. Because you're not sure. They tell you they're going to do that. They saying one, people came up with great plans. But one thing they even got, I want to share it. I heard this is one of the things that is required. So if you got a son or a daughter playing in any one of the high school or middle school, but basically where you said a high school where they're driving, when they finish, they have to leave the campus. They have to leave and go home and take them clothes off. And we just having some network problem right here all of a sudden. That's all right. We're going to hang in here. Take them clothes off, and hopefully we can pop back up on Facebook on both of them. Well, both of them going out, and that's unusual there. But, trying to reconnect. Take them clothes off. When they take those clothes off, they need to make sure they wash them, then take a shower. That's after every workout. They can't stand up in the parking lot and communicate. They're not going to allow them to do that. So if you have a son or daughter and they allow them to go work out, make sure they're not able to do that. Share that with them. Let them know that they're not going to be able to stand up there after practice over with and shoot a fact. They're not going to leave and have to be able to go to McDonald's or somewhere. They're going to need to go home because of what we're dealing with COVID-19. All right, let's move forth. And like I said, we lost it all. We're still trying to reconnect on Facebook, and we're just going to have to bear with it. We'll do our best to do it. I see it come back up on one of them. Thank you very much. I still have another one trying to pop back. One of my devices trying to pop back up. Now, it's so important that we keep in mind that, as I was saying, promote that among your young people. After practice, they can't mingle. They got to leave and got to go home. They got to go take those clothes off. Then they got to get a shower. Those clothes got to be thrown because you're around other individuals. I don't care if you're 6 feet. If they're not your family, you're around them over their practice. We got to do that if we have young people, grandchildren, children, cousins. When you're talking about sports, if you're coaching, you got to emphasize that they do that. All right, let's move to the next one in regards to the youth sports. I'm a little very concerned, and I'm going to share my opinion, when I heard that they was able to get started with youth sports. I don't have a problem with that. I know there's some pressure that people, I got to get them out. We got to get them out and play baseball. We got to play softball. We got to do all this. But what was the safety measures they came up with to how we going to do this? I didn't hear that. I'm not talking about what the High School Athletic Association said. I know what the CDC recommends. What are the youth sports going to do? Is it so important that you have, because at this point, you're talking about June. We're going into June. You're going to only have June or July because they plan a sport with their school. They're going to have to train for that. If they're not, if they're playing travel ball all year and baseball and softball like they do, you still got to adjust that. Are you going to keep? Is it going to be the same thing in the dugout? Are they going to be able to stand 6 feet apart in the dugout? You know, in baseball or softball, these are the kind of things. If we're in such a hurry to get this going, we got to consider these things. I have heard no rules in regards to how they're going to do youth sports this summer. They said camps. They're able to have camps. It's fine. You can have a camp, a summer camp, go to the YMCA, summer camp, or whatever it is, but they have to practice those safety measures. And if you send your son or daughter to them, you need to make sure they understand they have to follow those rules, because we all are being challenged right now. So, in essence, that's the biggest concern we have. Share your thoughts on it as well. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. And I'll make sure we are able to chat. We can share some thoughts in regards to youth sport, how it can work. I heard some people talking about AAU, talking about if they remove the restriction, we're going to start with AAU. And the first thing they said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to let them use masks when out there playing basketball. Come on, it's hard enough to run up and down that court. Come on, keep it real. We still not understanding this. This is serious. You're talking about some the youth league, some of them AAU start with kids in the six and seven years old, 8 years old. Oh man, let's keep it real. You got to understand, as it was meant by the medical people in sports, you know, it's not the sweat, it's whatever is coming from the internal part of that person. If that person having to sneeze, nose water, wiping on the uniform, it's on their uniform now. It's on their uniform. So if you do touch them, you get it on you. Come on, this is something serious. Is it possible we can just kind of hold off on youth sport and since the time is running out and maybe look at it next? That's my opinion. You can give me yours. I don't have a problem with how you feel about it, but I'm just saying what's best for you, because it's always going to be a 2021 and we're being blessed to see it. Some people have this mentality, you know, I may go tomorrow. Yeah, you may go, you may not go tomorrow. The thing about it, you still have to take it one day at a time. And not going out there putting your family, because if they out there exposed to it, they're going to bring it home to you. And now your children or your relatives that are not exposed to it are not out there, they're going to be exposed to it. Sometimes some things we have to hold off. So with this youth sport, that's something very concerning to me. And I'm hoping there's a step back, because I observed a couple softball on the 23rd meeting trying to meet. They probably wanted more people. The people just too unsure. And sometimes we have to just bite the bullet and say, okay, this season's over. Let's get ready for 2021 in regards to some youth sports. That time is running out on them as well. Because you can't start in a competition June 15th. So let's consider that you won't have much time anyway to do what you need to do. All right, let's move to the next topic, which is in regards to the outbreak from coronavirus has prompted a rippling effect across sports. And we see what they do. I talked about it earlier. You know, it shut down in March. No sports, no nothing. Now we still, even though we're slowly opening parts of the country because we want to get back to business, folks tired of sitting, are we really ready for it? I mentioned some things that were shared. Like, let me share some things like the High School Athletic Association was shared, and I'm using that because it's something important to apply to your child as well, even if they're in a youth program or whatever it is. First of all, just remember these students have been out of athletics for about 2 to 3 months, some longer than that, because they haven't had the training they need. Those students have to be acclimated. You can't expect to come out there and do some things that you normally could do if they was the rippling effect of coronavirus didn't happen. So they have to be acclimated. That is something the High School Athletic Association is pressing in every state. You must take time to acclimate. That may take 2 to 3 weeks or longer. to be acclimated. This is the kind of effect it had on sports and our young people. You can't just push them to get out there and do. That's why I said what somebody said, Anissa said about her son, and he was about 12 or 13, and they called and said, well, if they drop it, we're going to get out here, we're going to have people, we're going to put masks on them. And then, but what about that full-fledged 3 or 4 months of conditioning? Our health status is so important. So you got to make sure the player is acclimated to what's going on. You got to practice safety procedure. This is how this rippling effect of coronavirus. Normally they wouldn't. And they can tell you, and I've been in a weight room before now. I've been in a weight room before. They ain't been practicing no measures that can keep that place clean at time. They're cleaned up at the end, but they're not wiping the bars off every time somebody get up out of the bar. They're not wiping the seat off every time. This is the rippling effect of coronavirus. And we have to understand that. Let's make sure we focus on doing what's best to make sure our culture, our race, or the world continue on. It's going to be a new norm out here. And we have to accept that reality. If we are not able to play push football when football is tight, it ain't the end of the world. If we ain't able to travel like we want to travel, it's not the end of the world. Travel only necessary. You have to work and it makes you travel, that's fine. But just remember, all these things not only affecting sports, it's affecting how we operate our daily lives. So we have to keep that in mind. The rippling effect is that once it was shut down, now we're trying to get back up financially, especially in your lower income area. That's one of the areas of funding. When you talk about funding, you know, normally people would donate money and give money, but 36 million people was unemployed and still unemployed. Some of them are going back, but 36 million. Do y'all understand that? Millions. We ain't talking about a few people. We talking about 36 million people. And a lot of those people made donations to youth programs, to athletic programs, to sports. They bought tickets. All of that not happening. So the ripple effect financially, especially for our low-income areas, we're being affected tremendously. A lot of the donation to the youth program so these young men can participate. These boys can be off the street and be a part of it. It's a rippling effect. We have to keep that in mind. All right. Looking at the NCAA now, they allow them to come back on campus on June the 1st for summer workout. First, it was basketball and football. Now, I understand it's all the sports. That means our campus is going to be slowly opened up. It is going to be supposed to be, it should be summer school. Right now, it was talking about athletes on campus. They get that. So we're talking about summer school. We have to remember that practice the best measures there are. Still distant. We can't be some like some of the videos we saw in St. Louis. And for the people to come out and say, well, we'll just quarantine after we finish having fun. This is a mindset. So the NCAA has opened the door up for the sports to go back, the student athletes go back. Those measures have, you got to check temperatures. That's one of the safety measures. And all the high schools don't have to do it. No school's going to have to do it. Now, are you going to require the youth sports to do it? You know, one of the questions came out of this situation when you're talking about, what if one player gets sick at practice? How do you handle that? You know, the medical doctor, Dr. James Robinson, one of the experts that was on, stated that, well, you just send him home, you know, but don't stop what you're doing because, you know, he might just have the flu. That concerns me because the mentality is, you know, if you continue on, if he infected somebody else there, and if it's coronavirus, you got to have the test. Yeah, we want to have the test. Maybe that day you may need to set the practice, or you got to have some measures and make sure individuals don't come in that might be a little sick. See, a lot of times they're not going to tell you because they're afraid they're going to lose their opportunity to play. So this is the time that we have to make the right decision, and the NCAA is required to do the same thing as well. They're talking about all the great things they have set up so they can bring them back to campus you know, really, I want them not to talk about it. I want them not to just start doing it. They have to completely do it. You're one of the players who test positive at coronavirus. It's not just sending that player home. If everybody else had to go through the same process too. We have to look at things like that. It's a rippling effect. This is not just going to be here and go away tomorrow. It is here for a minute. And we have to realize that it's a plague. And we got to deal with it. And I want you to make sure we make the greatest effort to understand that it's nothing to play with. So the NCAA, yes, we want to get back to training. We want to get away. And another thing, let me tell you how, even though the NCAA are going to allow them to come back to summer training, just remember one thing. I want you to put this in your mind. Normal year would be you finish with football in January. You may have a week or two off, then you back to your training, your weight training. Then you have spring training. We're talking about NCAA football now. You get, so that's training too as well. So you get, make it to April, normally play to April, so you left with about 2 or 3 weeks left. We lost all that time. When they do come back June 1st, you cannot, you will have to spend another 6 to 8 weeks to get them acclimated, their bodies. Be acclimated. I want you to keep this in mind as well. It was something that came out about a couple months ago, maybe a month ago, right after they started with the coronavirus, when it's March 13th, shut down the country and all that, and we stay on orders and all that. And I think one of the universities used technology. They sent all their players Apple Watches. That was to keep up with them and help them with their training. Now, everybody didn't do that. Everybody can't afford that. So a lot of folks sit around and got fat as a hog. They sit down and enjoy themselves eating, doing things they normally. And most of the athletes that take care of their body are going to take care of their body. But a lot of them, you know, they really don't, because you have a kid that might be 6'8", 340 pounds. He may not be, he may gain 30, 40, 50 more pounds because he's sitting around. He had to nourish that body, you know, vice versa. He might be 5'10", 180 pounds. Now he's 215 pounds. That ain't the kind of weight he can carry. These are kind of, you got to acclimate. It's going to take 6 to 8 weeks. If we rushing past 6 to 8 weeks, which is what would be, what, June and July, all of July, August. Now we're talking about stepping into a training camp. That's not going to work. That's not long enough for these kids to, because they would have had the time from March, in some cases February, all the way down to graduation in May. Then they, some of them took maybe a week off, and they were back in summer school. So they continued. Their body got to adjust, people. Let's not lie. These things about all about making money, not only the coronavirus, it be dealt from heart attacks, putting pressure on our young people. We got to step up as parents, as advocates for athletes and students and children, so it won't happen. It ain't all about the money. It's all about lives. Stay at home and stay alive. That's what it's all about. All right, let's move forth and talk about University of Michigan president talked about college football. He made a comment. It sent shockwaves all over the country. And the shockwaves was that no University of Michigan football unless all students is on campus. What would be your reaction to that? Tell me what you thought about what he said. Put your university, your high school in that same status. Is he right or is he wrong? What is your thoughts on it? React to the situation in L.A. County where their schools have moved to virtual learning. So that means they're not on the campus. So that means no students on campus and ain't going to be no football. What you got a problem with that? That's another ripping effect on sports now, the world of sports. Think about the NBA trying to forge a way to get back started. But they're talking about going to Walt Disney World, going to Orlando and using a hotel setup down there and playing all the games in the facilities down there. Just the players, the family can't go. Think about that. If no students on campus, why is football more important than life? I want you to consider that. and not let people feed this bull that you got to have football. You can't live without football, or you can't live without sports. We did it for 70 days. It was tough, but we did it. And we'll do it again for another set. They said 100 days is down to 90 days to the first kickoff game. You know, that's 90 days is not important if we're losing lives. That's the way I see it. All right, we're going to kind of move our talk to the next topic. And it's about the ACC. They have several schools said they will not, if their students are not on campus, they're not going to feel, you know, they're not going to play a football schedule. And that's going to be their, what's the contingency plan for ACC, which is Atlantic Coast Conference, the one that Clemson played in Virginia. Virginia was one of the first schools that was talking that. Now they're kind of changing it to several others. And the question came out, what are they going to do about filling their schedule? Who they going to play? Are they going to be left out of the college football playoff because of that? If we have another spike, they ain't going to be no college football. It's going to fit. And from this past weekend, we will have a spike because we had a spike in this state, in the state of Alabama. We had 600 individuals. We had two counties listed in the top 10 in the country are the largest increase. The numbers weren't big, like it was 500. It was more like 86 and 83 was the numbers, those people who contracted that. And they made the top 10. You have the capital of the state of Alabama considered one of the 11 hot spots in the country. Let's you know, the numbers are rising a little bit too fast. Don't let people play these games, because there were some games being played over in the state of Georgia. I'll say that. Some people get mad, but it was. They said they made a mistake when the numbers came out the first time when they wanted to reopen. But they said the numbers ain't going up. Now, just think about it. If they made a mistake and gave you some numbers that was not correct then, tell me what they're doing now to keep everything open. What to say the numbers they're giving you now is not right. They're false. We're getting false readings. They even been said today on the newscast, and everybody said, hey, well, you know what, I'm a listener to that and go with the expert. And it's a lot of the early tests was false tests, but they gave them as being negative. It's possible they was positive. The early tests. So we got uncertainty. Is sport more important than lives? I want y'all to think about that. Quickly, I want to kind of move to the SWAC conference and the NEAC, which is a historical black college and university, CIAA, which is a Division II school, the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, and the SIAC, which is Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, and that's the historical black colleges and universities. What would be a contingency plan coming up for football? If things don't get any better, there's going to be some decisions, hard decisions made. I'm telling you, because those schools operate off playing the FBS to get money, then they operate on hopefully putting a few people in the stand. Their contingency plan, I heard, would be just a conference game. And if it keeps with the tennis numbers of the last 42 seasons, they're not always going to be bad, because if they continue to play those SWAT teams, they continue to play the MEAC teams I'm talking about within their conference, they can get five games. They can get five games where they can, if they keep an average, Jackson State average 33,000 per game. Alabama State averaged 17,000. Southern averaged better about 14,000. So those three teams, top schools right there, averaged that much. That was playing each other. They can make it work best they can, but they got to have a plan. Move from 10 games to 8 games and play each other and not worry about those other two games when they're going, being the homecoming queen, getting 500,000, we're getting the head beat in. You know, these are the kind of things that is happening. And I see my co-host on here, and I've been talking so much, and I hate to miss him. Coach Tony Starward, How are you, sir?
What's up, my brother? What's up, my brother? I was just couldn't get in, but I was enjoying every minute of it. I guess.
Hey, man.
I better just listen from now on.
hey, man. We need your expertise. Well, this is Coach Tony, touchdown stalwart, our high school resident expert, and I want him to take this opportunity. I've been talking about all of the things dealing with the NCAA, dealing with the historical black colleges, and dealing with football, and being able to get back. But if you want to take this opportunity to share some thoughts in regards to our particular high school, because I've watched the conference as well with Steve Salaries today and Dr. Robinson. But if you want to take about 5-6 minutes, share some thoughts that came out of that, that our listeners and watchers would like to hear.
You know, I found how beneficial having the Alabama High School Athletic Association and also the importance of it nationwide. It leads the nation when it comes to regulation and representation of their member schools. Some of the coaches need to be mindful that this is a very, very, very touchy situation that negates a lot of thought process, especially when you bring in the CDC, then you bring in the Alabama Department of Health, and you bring in the State Department of Education and the High School Athletic Association, which has its own medical advisory. And it gets a little bit aggravating when the governor opens up Pandora's box, and then the association, the American Bible Board, got to go back now and relook at this thing because you're flame throwing now. I said all that to say this: it's gonna be vitally important that administrators and athletic directors be extremely functional now. You cannot take for granted that you got somebody out there that's going to screen the temperature of each kid in a group. Somebody got to maintain the level of separation. Somebody got to maintain communication. Somebody got to maintain, of all things, hygiene. And it's no longer going to be a situation where you can go get a kid in the 7th, 8th grade to be a manager because you got to have all adult supervision. If not, you're not going to have parents that are going to feel real comfortable about allowing their kids to go out there. That's another thing. But the guidelines that are set in the Alabama High School Athletic Association is going to make sure that they don't get themselves in a litigious situation because they have already said these are the guidelines to use, and if there's anything else that your local district wants to implement, then that's your call. Because what they're not going to do is put themselves in a situation to make anything. And then nothing in those guidelines, nothing in those activities, nothing in those conditions, whatever going on, is mandatory because summer workouts are not mandatory. They protected themselves by taking competition out of it. They have no competition, therefore they ain't liable for nobody. So I hope the listeners are listening tonight understand that parents now need to be a little bit more involved and making sure that they get some parent meetings before and get the information straight. Because you can't depend on kids. Kids don't clean up at home. Your damn well ain't gonna clean up at the facility. They don't even know how. I asked a lady the other day. I said, "You think your child spent?" It's got to be all of them. And I had a coach call me today, worried about a schedule. Listen, we worry about the health and safety of kids now, not a schedule.
Yeah.
And if schools don't open, there won't be no athletics. So it's you got young coaches with a competitive mind that's not thinking about health regulations. And Dr. Smith, it's scary. It's really scary. You watched that today. Can you believe that you're going to have some of your small schools that have lack of supervision, that using volunteer coaches and principals that probably should have been at home because it's retirement time or may retire showing up now? It's going to be some situations where this whole situation with athletics could put us back a little wide the curve. It really could.
Yeah.
Because right now you got kids at home. You got to go home now. It ain't that bad. But we got to screen them now. And once you screen them and start sending them out there, somebody going to come out there and say, well, you know what? this ain't working and my child ain't coming. So I know it's one of those situations where you touch and go, but good thing, like you open the beaches up. You open the beaches up and everybody with the beaches that's coming back, the car can't flatten like that. It just can't.
Yep.
And you exactly. said it with a mouthful when I was listening. The guidelines are out there. How you legislate it and how you get people to understand how serious this is where the real job comes in. Other than
exactly.
That, we fix the explosive. Athletic can carry you way out there with this. It really can.
Yes, sir.
Especially if you're dealing with irresponsible people. Hell, we had irresponsible people when it came to the rules. You know you're going to have irresponsible people with these guys, man.
Ooh. What you said, Coach? You said a mouthful then.
But for all our listeners, please go on the Alabama High School Athletic Association website, parents, listeners, and those that are third party parents, and make sure that you know what's supposed to be done.
Exactly.
And then you can decide whether you want your child involved. I'm not trying to discriminate and tell anybody not to kill kids either, but you need to know what's going on. Just because they're
exactly.
Over and allowing activities don't necessarily mean that you freed up the pandemic. You may be igniting the pandemic. So
yes,
it needs a carrier, and that can be a carrier if you don't follow them guidelines.
Exactly. Just like the beach.
You can't have
like
your kids. You can have your kids in the rural area, Dr. Smith. You know this. In the rural area, kids
mm-hmm.
come from 15 to 20 miles. When they practice over, they ain't jumping in no car. And who? They're driving up there, so they jump in their cars, they're gone. These kids cannot no longer sit around outside the building waiting on anybody to pick them up. Now how you gonna legislate that when you're still in the building?
There you go. I'll make it, Coach. There you go. I mentioned that about earlier. They said you can't stay around, and like I think one of the coaches said, I got a way. I'll just tell them to go home. Well, you know, but you know, the truth of the matter, if they don't have a way home till their parents come pick them up, and I've been there.
You still
have
a phone.
Hours, 2 hours, you know. So now you already kill one guideline right there.
And
Coach, we both, and many of us who are coached at a small school level, some people, you know, just don't have ways home till their parents get off to pick them up.
And
everybody like,
right.
I'm
and
picking them up.
And they want you to take care of their children, they can get to them. But the best thing for a coach to do is to look. You don't have a way home, then it's not mandatory for you to come. Only come when you got somebody
exactly.
to pick you up. At least you get
exactly.
something out of the child.
Exactly, and that's the best thing. You have to say, enforce those guidelines. They're not rules, but they're guidelines. You got to understand guidelines. A lot of times, be rules that you have to enforce. And one of the things Coach said, and as I thought about that and I heard a question asked about that earlier today, I'm saying now some of these people not going to have it. I know I packed many people in my car, in my SUV and taking people home. But you can't afford to do that now. You can't do
but
that.
You
really wasn't doing
you can't
it
do
then.
It.
You can't do it because here they are, they have been perspiring, they got everything. Oh, yeah, you can wipe the weights off, you can wipe the seat off, the bench, you can wipe, but they still need, got clothes on them. That's
and
where
and
it lodges itself
at. You just made another point, because the question was asked to Steve Severese today was about, I mean, to Dr. Robinson about shower. He said, nope, they cannot shower at the facility. Therefore, if they got anything home to get in your vehicle, they can't shower when they get home.
There you go. So you got to consider that now. You got to consider it because what he's telling, if a parent pick them up, it's already said it's okay that they can gather with family. And the family
that's
live in
right.
the same house. You don't live in the house with me. So if you end up in my car and I'm taking you home, now, where you need to get home and should be already at home once you get home, as long as you're with them. See, this is the kind of thing and the understanding we're not getting and we don't have any clarity on it. I know it's clear to most of everybody, but it you don't know it when you have a bunch, 40 kids there, 20 kids there, and you got 10 of them ain't got a way home or 5, and you're talking about, oh, y'all not. It's like Coach just said, we have to go and make the son, like I had to do with a young lady, I had to do when I was coaching 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. Every time we got back to school at practice, they never had a ride home. I even had the bus to take them home sometime, and a whole lot of stuff because we used to end at 5. I had to tell that young lady, take it, you know, you, if your parents, and I said, if your parents, when they come, I need to see them. When I talked to the parents, they was upset because they couldn't come pick up. She sit out there an hour. What are you going to do in a situation like that now? How are we going to handle that?
And you know, that as I watched that, and it's nothing wrong with anything. I think I committed, I sent a communication to the whole staff, committed them for what they did. But you know what, though? If they could have had one coach on there that was from a low socioeconomic environment, does not have the facilitations of a Hoover,
yes,
and compare that and let some questions be asked like, what are we going to do? Because they still got to be, I mean, they just don't have the facilities that are, I mean, it's rough. You go anywhere, and no offense to any of my listeners here, but I'm just calling like I see it because I know it. You go to West Alabama.
Yes.
You go to some South Central. It's going to be scary. It's going to be scary. They got volunteer coaches. And they got facilities just already not up to par, not for regulation. And no offense, Lyles County been had sanitation problems for a long time.
Oh, yeah. And they reached the number 9 in the country.
That's right. And
today,
it's going to be a situation where everybody got to get involved with this. It just can't be one person responsible and not need to keep child at home.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, what we're going to have to make sure we do is make sure everybody understands what's going on here. Yes, we opened the country up. Yes, we got workouts, summer workouts, but those guidelines and those so-called recommendations have to be followed to the T. If you only have like one or two coaches there, a lot of that's not going to work. You're going to have almost, now like Coach said about schools like Hoover that has 18 and 19 people that's there, that's volunteer to do, and they coach Hazel Green and all of those schools like that, even the Robert E. Lee's and the Montgomery, all them 5 down in Mobile, they got large schools. But you got to realize you have to have a plan of action, but that football is not the only football. You have smaller schools, very small 1A schools that don't have the staff. And again, don't have transportation because I can tell you for sure I worked in the county and Coach know where I worked at. Kids may have come from almost Dallas County coming to the school and had to practice. Their only means of transportation is the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So we might be in a hurry to get football because they said we need sports. You know what? We got to think about that part. And the association job is not to think about that part. Your local district board of education have to think about that part. They the one have to make sure they have the thought process how they going. Maybe they might have to tell their coach, we probably not going to be able to do any football. We might not going to be able to do any workout because we don't have the staff. We don't have the people that we can make sure. And then again, our children don't have a way home. They don't have a way home. They have to leave this campus after the practice is over. And the first time, my question is, the first time, how are we going to deal with it? Because if you say we got guidelines down there, it has to be dealt with. It has to be, what if they violated? So who do that falls on? It should fall on that community.
Here's what the thought process needs to be. Now, if administrator listened to what was going on today, the next thing they should have been doing as soon as they got through was try to find some kind of consent form. Now, you're going to have a consent form, physical, and all the other issues from the Alabama High School Association, but you need a local consent form saying, at least, first of all, it needs to state, this is not mandatory, do you consent? So you can stay out of liability issues.
Yep, and liability is important.
When you get one of those forms, then you know you got what? You got cooperation on both sides then.
Yes. And that's it.
Some of these kids are coming from broken home, one parent home with a mom, leaving at 3 or 4 o'clock in morning time, trying to make it to a factory. When she get back, the child might be not home or sleep. They depend on the school to take care of all. The school can't take care of all this now. It's impossible.
Exactly. And see, we have to keep that in mind when we're in a rush to do things. We got to understand everybody's not in the same situation financially or even to a point they can do some of the things like your your urban cities are, and your suburbs, but your rural area, that's where it comes. They still play those games. So this is something, when we're dealing with COVID-19, this is not a joke. And we want you to keep in mind, and we're going to share some things on Facebook in regards to, you know, some things that was talked about today and give you the link that you can go check out what was said. If, whether you're in what state you're in, you can check out whoever. If it's the Alabama High School Athletic Giving a conference talking about safe in marriages, check it out and see it. Because it's going to affect your child, whether they're in Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Tennessee, because it's going to require the same thing to do. The guidelines came from the CDC, and they're developing some guidelines that they can use. That's what they're doing now. So that's one of the situations we're looking at right now. So I just want you to, everybody to keep in mind that, yes, sports is on a comeback, but it ain't back. I want you to keep
that's right.
Cold Star Wars. We're at 9:10. We're getting ready to set it out. But any last thoughts you want to share with us? And my individual on Facebook was like there and blanked off on me. But you know, God is good, man.
I like for our listeners to, even if you don't know who I'm talking about, to have a prayer for Coach Johnson over to Lee High School. There's another very tragic situation where he lost another student athlete today, was a victim of drowning. And
wow.
If you look at his track record, the student athlete had an opportunity to go on to UAB on a football scholarship full load. He lost one some 3 to 4 years, maybe 2 to 3 years ago. It would have been a basketball player. And I just talked with him, and if nothing else, send him a text message and just say we're praying for you, because that's rough on a coach when he puts it, because those children are our children when we got them, because we get them in the morning time and we have not only 6.5 hours for class, we got the extended day. And the extended day could be until 10, 11 o'clock at night if you got a game. So, you know, it's a tough situation at Lee High School now, and for Coach Johnson and for the parent of the child. I don't get into name calling, but it's out there. But prayers can help us all.
Change,
I just want to say that.
Awesome, Coach. Again, I appreciate you able to get in and share those thoughts with us. And it's that's what it are. Our listeners and our watchers are interested in what's going on and how we're going to come back. Like we said, we're going to come back. And we may not come back. We might just have to take a time off and then maybe come back at another time. But steps are being taken now, and that's what it's all about, getting this information. And that's what the Voice of the Historical Black College and University, High School, and Middle School Athletics in the southeastern part of the United States is all about. We're giving you everything that we have to offer you and our expertise and our questions and comments that we're sharing with you, and that's what it's all about. So we do appreciate you joining us, Coach. You want to close out with your last words, then we'll leave away from here with a good thought on Wonderful Wednesday.
Well, we're under this pandemic massive changes in our lifestyles. But remember, there's one place that we all can go, and that's into prayer. Well, I want to offer a lot of prayers for those families that have been victimized with this. If you have faith, then your faith sometimes gets tested. If you don't have faith, now it's time to get it. Pray for our president and pray for our leaders. Most of all, pray for our healthcare people. As I always say, have a nice day. You take that day, and please don't let that day take you.
Awesome, Coach. Thank you so much. And that was Coach Tony Touchdown Stallworth, our high school resident expert, sharing those thoughts on the part of, you know, what he's experienced and what we know. And it's just words of advice. Parents, don't be less involved now. Be involved. And that's what it's all about. We got to be involved. If we want to have all this stuff back so we can have our children in, we can't sit back and rely on one or two people to do the job a minute. So it's going to be awesome. COVID-19 has a rippling effect on all sports, and it's going to continue to have a rippling effect. But that's what we're here to report and share with you. It's been a pleasure being with you tonight. And as I said, hashtag is stay at home and stay alive. Second hashtag, keep on grinding. And our next hashtag is communicate for understanding. And if you do that, you're going to have an awesome life and really enjoy yourself with the people around. And tomorrow we have our show that comes on at 6 o'clock called The Love Cafe. The L is for listening, the O is for overcoming, the V is for valuable, and the E is for excitement and expectation. The Love Cafe. Have that menu, three, have the starter, appetizer, the love. Then we have the entree, which is what? It's the attraction. And last but not least, the dessert, which is what? Your attachment to whoever you're looking at. So we're going to have an awesome show tomorrow, 6 o'clock Central Standard Time. It's been great. Co-star, again, thank you so much for being a part of it. And we look forward to all of our individuals. I want to give a shout out to all those people that was online, but my Facebook blanked out. I guess it run out of space, but it is what it is. But it's been awesome tonight, and we're going to leave y'all with it's about to go down because sports is on the way for a comeback, and it's about to go down. So we're going on the rights to the song. And as I got to tell y'all, I want you to tell your family members, tell your friend this. Tell them you love them because we know that tomorrow is not promised to each and every one of us, but we have to take it not only just day by day now, hour by hour, minute by minute. But do exactly as you're told. You might not agree with who's in telling you that, but do it for the sake of your future, meaning your children, your grandchildren, and even your great-grandchildren. That's what it's all about. So it's about to go now. We're about to close this thing out. We thank the Lord for giving us another chance to be here. And as I say to you every time, I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night.
Hey. Here we go again. Here we go. Get on Field USA. You know I go by the name Nitty, right? I gotta introduce y'all another motherfucker at my squad, right?
Who is this nigga, man?
This nigga go by the name of Jock. He resides in College Park, right? But for right now, what we gotta do for y'all? What we gonna do? We gotta give y'all a hit, huh?
Niggas in my face, damn near every day. Ask a million questions like, Jock, where you stay? Tell a College Park, where the chop car? Heat 20 grand, spend a grand at the bar. Just about a zone, J's on my feet. I'm on that Patron, so get like me. 69 Cutlass with the bucket seat. Heat in my trunk, bought it just for the freaks. Catch me in the hood, posted at the store. Pistol in my lap on the phone, counting dough. If your girl choose, let her do a thing. Just like a mama, nice ass, night brain. Everybody love me, I'm so fly. Nigga throw the deuces every time I ride by. I know you wonder why I'm so cool. Don't ask me, just do what you do. Meet me in the trail, it's going down. Meet me in the mall, it's going down. Meet me in the club, it's going down. Anywhere you meet me, guaranteed to go down. Meet me in the trail, it's going down. Number two, do the damn thing. Shoes on my neck, pocket full of bent frame. When I'm in the mall, hoes just pause. I pop a few tags, give me that on the wall. Time to flip the work, make the block bump. Boys in the hood call me Black Donald Trump. Dope boy magic, 7 days a week. Number one record, longest Nitty on the beat. Who I think they like me, better yet I know. Lights, camera, action when I walk through the door.